Today's daf in Mesechet Ta'anit, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Chofchet, and may we have the koach to be zochet to learn v'simcha metuv levav. We're on the first line. Parasha Gedola, Korin ota b'shnayim. So we were talking about some very unclear words in the Mishnah, where it says that the Parasha Gedola was b'shnayim, and how often do we do this? B'shachris, b'musav, b'mincha korin al pihem. Now, that's very, very unclear. Does that mean shachris and musaf we read, and then b'mincha we only say it like shema? Or does it mean shachris we read from the Torah, and then musaf and mincha we read it bal peh? Because you didn't tell me where to put the comma. Yiboilu, echi comma, how do we read the Mishnah? B'shachri to b'musaf korin to b'sefer, and then mincha time we read it al peh, as if we're korin at shema. Or, shachris, we read it from a Sefer Torah, but musaf and mincha, we say over the Maaseh Bereishis Parsha, bal peh. Tashma, well, we could see from the Braita how to read it properly, the Tanya. B'shacharit u'b'musaf nichtasim l'beit ha'knesset. So the Anshei Ma'amad go into the Beit HaKnesset, the Korin in the Sefer Torah, on Shachris and on Musaf, Kederach Shekorin Kol HaShana, the way they normally read in the Beit HaKnesset. U'b'mincha, each individual is Koreota Alper. Omer Reb Yossi, how can a Yochid be Kore Divrei Torah in public? He can't be Kore Alper. It's Osir to read without the Sefer Torah for the Tzibur. No. It doesn't mean they read it the way they read it in Shul. It means kulam nechlas v'korino tal peko korin et shema. Everybody says it to themselves. That's the point. The way one says over shema doesn't mean everybody reads it for the tzibur. So now that makes clear every last word that the Mishnah was saying. Anyway, let's go on to the next piece in the Mishnah. Kol yom sheyesh bo halel. So we say there's no ma'amad in shacharit if there's halel. And then, according to Rabbi Yoshua, we say that there's no ma'amad at ne'ilah if there is a korban eitz. Mat masha'in kain, we do have a normal mincha. Right? This is the way Rashi understands it. Ma hefresh ben zeh lezeh. So why are we making a difference between ne'ilah and between mincha? I mean, after all, the eitz, korban eitz came before mincha, so it should just cancel the mincha too, right? I mean, why do we just ignore the problem of the carbon eitzim that's supposed to be taking up their time and so on, and make them go through with the whole maimit tefila and kriya and so on? Why is that? It's only going to be nogea ne'ila? Answers the Gemara, yes, because mincha is a takana of Yitzhak Avinu, and therefore we view it as the equivalent of divrei Torah. It doesn't mean literally it's divrei Torah, but we know that we were semech on Yitzhak Avinu's takana to do it, so it's similar to an inyan that comes from the Torah. Masha'in kein ne'ila, that is only divrei sofrim. It has no mocker in the Torah that there should be a tefilas ne'ila. And so memela, we are not as makbid, and we'll be doicha the ne'ila, but we don't, will not be doicha musaf. This is how Rashi learns. The other Rishonim, including Tosfos over here, completely different shot. What they understand it to mean is not what is the difference between musaf and ne'ila. They understand it to mean what is the difference between a korban musaf and a korban eitzim. So why is it that the korban eitzim, the korban musaf, is doicha mincha, and the korban eitzim is not doicha mincha? They both come before mincha. That was the question. And we answered that musaf is midiraisa, because we bring our korban musaf min ha'Torah. Masha enkein, the korban eitzim, therefore it's going to be doicha, right? Masha enkein korban eitzim is entirely the stakon of the Nevi'im and so forth, and therefore it's only deicha ne'ila, but it's not going to be deicha mincha. However, this difference between the ne'ila and mincha is taken for granted according to Tosfos' approach. So in other words, the korban eitzim, which is a divrei seifrim, is only deicha ne'ila, which is divrei seifrim. Musaf, which is d'oraita, is deicha even mincha, which is d'oraita, so to speak. We're using the word divrei Torah here throughout the whole story. We're using it rather loosely. We don't mean that this exact behavior is divrei Torah, but we mean that the makor of the inyan comes from the Torah. So that's a very different approach. Okay, but basically, we understand that both are taking the difference between the Ilah and Musaf. Now let's take a look at the whole piece of the Mishnah. It goes into great detail about the Zman Atzei Kohanim V'Ha'am, which, again, on the surface, did not seem to be this really nogea, this whole story. So why are we mentioning it here as if it's so choshev? I mean, put it into Megillas Tainus and so on. Why in the world is it choshev to put into a Mishnah instead of keeping it as part of Megillat Ta'anit? Tana Rabbanan, lamu tzirchu lomar zman atzei kohanim v'am. So what is the reason that Mishnah finds it so important? Amru, kishalu b'nei agolah, lomatzu etzim b'lishka. Remember that the whole story, as we've already spoken about, was a very dramatic story at the time that resulted in a kfias by the Nevi'im Shebenea. So that's Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi, who were alive at the time. So they were kuveya this to be something that would be omed l'deires, in which case it's very similar to Shmuel Haro'eh and David be'emunatam, as the Lashon of the Pasuk speaks about. And therefore, we don't want this to be something that is just going to be forgotten when the Megillas Tainus goes out of use, wherever, which is what happened. So because of that, they wanted to be kuveya those dates that were made by Nevi'im, that they should be together with the other dates that we speak about in our Mishnah, which are Koveya, the Hanhaga of the Nevi'im, as to how it is that Klal Yisrael relates to the Beis HaMikdash, Bibinyonai, Bipu'ulai, and Bichurbanai. So all of these things are deeply interrelated with, of course, Maaseh Bereishis itself, as the Gemara was Koveya yesterday. So just to remind you, because it continues the Gemara, that remember how the entire Braisa goes, Kisha'olu b'nei ha'golah, and these families, then they dedicated themselves, which was tremendously difficult at the time because of the state of Churban, and it might have meant walking around for hundreds of miles ultimately to get enough of these etzim, and they did that. And because of that, the Nevi'im were koveya, that no matter what, for the rest of time, she'afil lishka melea etzim, even if you have enough wood for the Mizbeach, and there's not in the least any kind of problem that we need them to bring the wood, nonetheless, because of that Maisa that they did at the time of the Chinuch of the Beis HaMikdash, these Mishpachot are going to bring a korban on the day that they first went ahead and brought that wood at the time of Ezra and Nehemiah. And this is, as it says, Beferish, Shenemar, according to Beit Avotenu, leitim zumanim shana b'shana levaer mizbach Hashem Elokeinu kakatuv b'Torah. And therefore we were koveya it as if, again, it was Divrei Nevi'im, and therefore we were koveya it similarly to the way we would have done in something that was written in the Torah literally. V'imahem. And then the Mishnah said, so then, together with the last mishpacha, which is very strange, the Zatu comes along with Kohanim, Levi'im, people that had a Kabbalah in their family, that they were definitely part of the families that brought the Korban Etzim, but they don't have a clear yichus as to which family that was. And then we had these weird kinds of mentions of families that were called the Gonvei Eli. What does that mean? These are the pestle smugglers. What are pestle smugglers? Kotze Kitzios. People that press together the dried figs. I mean, what is that? Tana Rabbanan. Ma yu b'nei gonvei eli u'v'nei kotze kitziot. Well, the Maizu was like this. It once happened that Gazra malchut gezeira Yisrael shelo yaviyu etzim lemaracha v'shelo yaviyu bikurim liYerushalayim. In order to break the connection between the Am as a whole and the Beis HaMikdash. And remember that the most powerful connection is Bikurim. Because over there, you are bringing all the way up to the Mizbeach and bringing it from the first things that appear in your sodes, on your trees, and you are saying the entire parsha Avigadati ayom la'ashem lokecha ki bati ala oretz. And you're talking about Aram mi'oved avi. And you see the Beis HaMikdash in context of the commitment to Avram Avinu and the very Bamei Eda, which became the chibur to the Korbonas and to the Ma'amodas. That is exactly what it is that they were smart enough to go after. And that's exactly why we make special mention of that issue over here, because it together with, at the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, the idea of the commitment to bring the Eitzim to the Mizbeach from all over the country, those were the two inyonim that were very similar. And they made similar gezerot against both of those things. We don't want people coming around from all over the place to the Beis HaMikdash. And we don't want people bringing Eitzim from all over the place to the Beis HaMikdash. And this Ma'amad is the whole idea, remember, of all over the place. And these dinim of the Taniot and the Churban is the ultimate idea of all over the place, because it's all over time and all over place that we have these zichronis of the Beis HaMikdash and the commitment to them. And they actually put up policemen. So Hoshivu prozot al adrachim, exactly like Yeravam ben Nevat did in order to get people to come to his agalot and not to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. Shelo yalu Yisrael l'regel. They did the same thing. But they had a smarter way of doing it. And therefore, they went to the roots, not just to Aliyah L'Regel, but to the basic idea of how we come into Eretz Yisrael, Bechlal, and how that Knesset of Eretz Yisrael is Nogeres at the Beis Mikdash. So, Ma'o Su, Ksherim, V'yorechet, Shaboso Hador. So, what did they do to be somehow or other circumvent all of this? Heviu Salei Bikurim. They brought the Bikurim the way they always would, but they disguised them. And they made them look like regular cheapo baskets, and they covered them over with ktsiot so that they would look like a bunch of dried figs. And then they took them together with an eli, which is a pestle, and they carried it as if they were going about their business and they were going to be busy making these fig cakes. And so when they got to these policemen, that were checking over what were people going, and they said to them, "Where the heck do you guys think you're going? What do you mean, where are we going? We're going to make a couple of fig cakes. What's the matter with you guys? Well, we've got right over there. It's like a half a mile down. Want to come and see it? The Machtesha Shilafanenu. We've got a little press over there. Yeah, we're even carrying the pestle so we can pound them in to the Machtesha. Okay, so they believe them. The moment that they got past these policemen, Salim. So then they did the beautiful stuff with the gold foil and the decorations all around the Bikurim baskets and the Viumli Yerushalayim. And then once they got by, they were able to continue onwards to Yerushalayim. And then there was also the other part, which we mentioned, which was the strange things about people that were somehow or other smuggling these Ellies. What was that about? Satana. This is basically the same idea as the Salmai Hanatofti, which they also did the same thing. Tana Rabbanu Mahin b'nei Salmai Hanatofti. So, Pamachat Kazrog Zeram Amachut al Yisrael Shalo Yaviu Eitzim L'Maracha. So they had a similar idea like the Gonvei Eli. Shalo Yaviu Eitzim L'Maracha. So, Shivu Prusdot al Adrachim, Kederosh Shivu Rava ben Avot al Adrachim. In order, Rava ben Avot did it Shalo Yalu Yisrael L'Regel. So again, Masu, the Ksherim and Yerechet, Shaboto Ador, to get around it. So, Evio Gizirei Hen V'Yasu Salamot. They took the Gizrei Eitzim that they were planning on bringing up to the Beis HaMikdash, and they nailed them into ladders. So they became ladders. They put the ladders on their backs, and they're going ahead and they're walking along. Of course, the policeman asked them, "Where do you guys think you're going?" Amrulayam, "Where are we going? We're going to collect a couple of birds, you know, from the dovecots that we have right up there. Want to come and see?" "Yeah, that's why we're bringing these ladders." As soon as they got away from them, so that is what we're being meramis to, that these people are also those who were meiser nefesh in order to be able to keep the mizbeach with its wood and to keep the Beis HaMikdash mutar Bikurim, and Aleim Vakatsebem Omer Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And note that this Hanhaga that we were talking about, Kiderek Shah Sa Yeravim Ben Avat, why did we do that? Because that's the whole point. Yeravam ben Nevat v'chaverav, it says, Shem Rishayim Yirkav, they should just rot. Okay, then we went on to say that on the 20th, this is all referring to Av, remember, all those last dates, they were all like one after the other, in Chodesh Av, the 5th and the 7th, and so on. Finally, on the 20th, we had B'nei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda. So it was Pachat Moav ben Yehuda. So Tana, B'nei Pachat Moav ben Yehuda is the same family that we originally referred to as B'nei David ben Yehuda. Because remember that basically who is David HaMelech? He is the king that came from Moab, from Ruta Moaviyah. And so we also gave that family the name of Pachat, which is the governor, the ruler from Moab. So this is Pachat Moab. Perfect. So we wanted to be Merames, both elements of David HaMelech, the fact that it was the B'nai Yehuda with the whole story of parrots and so on one side, and the fact that it was Pachas Moav on the other side, which brings us back to Lot, which brings us back to Avram, which brings us back to Sodom and Matzati David Avdi. And it was important for us to have that balance in the understanding of who it was that was supporting the Beis HaMikdash and was bringing the Karbonos. So because of that, we mentioned them twice, each time in a different way. So that's who it was. Rabbi Yossi says, that's not who it was. It was David HaMelech's sister's family. David HaMelech had a sister called Tzruya and a sister called Avigail. And they were also from Moab. And Tzruya was the mother of Yoav ben Tzruya. So therefore, Hain b'nei Yoav ben Tzruya, it's referring to Yoav's family. It's a different family, which is also called the b'nei Pachat Moab. And then we had, on the 20th of Elul, it was b'nei Adin ben Yehuda. Now, who is B'nai Adin ben Yehuda? Well, we know who's called Adino Ha'etzani, right? That is, like we had back in Brochus, that's David HaMelech. He was called that because when he went out to war, he was hard like an Atzani. And when he was learning Torah, he was soft and open to correction and to other people's opinions. And he was Ma'adena Tatzmo Ketolat, is Lashon HaGemara. So that's who he was, and therefore we refer to him as well as the B'nai Adin. That's Hein B'nai David ben Yehuda. So that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is another mention of the same family. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's actually B'nai Yoav ben Tzruya that was referred to as the Adin over here. And they, too, had this special hanhaga. He was tough as nails, so to speak, Yoav, and was also Mekabel Das Torah. Be'echad b'tevet, now here's where we run into trouble. Because then it says that be'echad b'tevet shavu b'nei parosh shnia. The family of parosh says we have nine of these holidays of the Karban Etzim, and we only have eight families. One of those families was zochet to have twice a year, and that was b'nei parosh. So they now got their second chance, which nobody else had. Now, this is a serious problem. Because we just went through the identification of the B'nai Adin and the B'nai Pachat Moav. So we ended up with possibly two other families that had twice a year chances. Because if B'nai David ben Yehuda is the same as B'nai Adin ben Yehuda, or if B'nai David ben Yehuda is the same as B'nai Pachas Moav ben Yehuda, so then why did the Mishnah only mention that it was B'nai Parosh that had a second chance, if Lamaisa it was also B'nai David, or maybe B'nai Yoav, who were mentioned twice? I don't get it. So money matnitin. It's not going to go to anybody, because none of the shitot that we had before can actually account for the fact that despite the fact that there were multiple repetitions, possibly, the only one that the Mishnah finds relevant is B'nai Parosh. Why is that? It can't be Rabbi Meir. It can't be Rabbi Yehuda. It can't be Rabbi Yossi. I mean, if it's going according to Rabbi Meir, so then why doesn't it say that B'nai David ben Yehuda came back a second time also? Because according to Rabbi Meir, we mentioned David two times. So that can't be the Mishnah. It says only B'nai Parosh had two times. And if it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda, then it should say B'nai David ben Yehuda came back the second time because of the B'nai Adin identification, not because of the B'nai Pachas Moav, but it boils out the same problem that they're mentioned twice, just with different names. So why don't we say that they had a second chance? And according to Rabbi Yossi, it's Yoav ben Tzruya had two times, because after all, he had mentioned Yoav ben Tzruya as B'nai Pachat Moav, and he had mentioned Yoav ben Tzruya as B'nai Adin ben Yehuda. So who's it going according to? Says the Gemara, well, actually, it's going according to Rabbi Yossi, and the fact that Rabbi Yossi mentions both B'nai Adin ben Yehuda as being Tzruya ben, as being Yoav ben Tzruya, and also B'nai Pachas Moav as a reference to Yoav ben Tzruya because of its being from Yeruta Moaviyah, that is two different shitas. And those were Trei Tanoi, Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. And basically, Rabbi Yossi had said that one of the Mishpachot listed in the Mishnah was Yoav ben Tzruya. There was one Tana who remembered that as it being Adin ben Yehuda being Yoav ben Tzruya, and another who quoted Rabbi Yossi as saying it was Pachas Moav that was Yoav ben Tzruya. But Rabbi Yossi definitely never said that there were two different mentions of Yoav ben Tzruya. And he does not agree with either of the other shitot. So in other words, he does not agree that if what he held was Yoav ben Tzruya was Adin, he does not agree that B'nai Pachas Moav is David, and therefore he doesn't have a problem of multiple David. He only said one Yoav ben Tzruya, and he didn't tell us, fine, he obviously holds it was another Mishpacha that was called B'nai Pachas Moav. If he held B'nai Pachas Moav was Yoav, so then B'nai Adin he held was another family, and he did not agree with either of the other Shitas. And therefore, Aliba Rabbi Yossi, we have to say that there was only one person that was Yoav ben Tzruya, another that was simply another family, neither Yoav nor David, and therefore there was not a single case in which a family repeated the Korban Eitzim except for B'nai Parosh. And that works out very well, Aliba the Rabbi Yossi. Tosis explains we could have done this also when we said Trei Tanoi Aliba Rabbi Meir. I mean, but first of all, we want to go Aliba the Rabbi Yossi because Rabbi Yossi is Nimuko Imo, and therefore we rarely have an issue where he's brought up in the Mishnah. It's always Nimuko Imo, and therefore that's the halacha. Plus, Trei Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Yossi is common. Then we said that on Rosh Chodesh Tevet, which is Chanukah, which we just were zecher to, there was no Ma'amad at all, because we had Hallel, and that got rid of Shacharis. And then we had Musaf, and that got rid of Musaf and Mincha. And then we had the Korban Eitzim, and that got rid of Ne'ilah. So therefore, we ended up with no Ma'amad on that day at all. Remember, it was a Machlokas Rishonim, whether we also canceled the laning. According to Ravid, we never canceled the laning. It's just the extra tefillas that we're talking about over here. But the connection to my separations, that was kept. Anyway, I have a little bit of a problem with this because I don't get it. I mean, Hallel, we're saying, is going to be doche. Maishna Hallel is doche only where it itself occurs. So we're saying that there was no maimed in Shacharis because of the fact that we had Hallel. And how come Musaf, it says, is doche the mincha? Why isn't it doche the Musaf? Because we're making a wrong assumption, obviously, and we're assuming that Musaf is doche mincha. Aliba de Rabbi Yoshua meant it's only doche mincha, but it's not doche the actual Musaf itself. We're going to obviously be doche this approach. Amalei Rav Ashi, come off it. How did you think that that's what it meant? If Hashta the Lavdi Dei Dochi, if Musaf is able to be Deicha, even Mincha, which is the next Maimed down, don't you understand that the only reason we didn't mention that it's Docha Musaf is because it's obvious? Didei Lo Kol Shekein, of course it's going to be Docha Didei. Okay, so we're assuming over here that we're not going Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, obviously. Right, because, I mean, this whole discussion doesn't make any sense. We're only discussing it, Aliba, the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua, because we said that after Rabbi Akiva heard Ben Azai, that he himself ended up going Aliba, the Rabbi Yoshua. So, okay, so we want to go according to the sheet of Rabbi Yoshua. So we're saying that, of course, it was Docha Musaf. How could you not understand that? Omar Lei, so Mark Ashish explained to Ravashi, no, you misunderstood my question. Of course I understood that. What I was asking you was, why should the Musaf be Docha also Mincha? If it was Docha its own Ma'amad, I mean, that's when you're going to be busy with it. So that's what it should be Docha. Ah, that's what you meant, says Ravashi to Markashisha. There is a Shita like that. Actually, Rabbi Yossi agrees with you. Because in the Braisa it says, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Kol Shyom Sheyesh Bo Musaf, Yesh Bo Ma'amad. Now, what in the world does that mean? We're going to have to explain. But basically, what he says is that if you've got a Musaf, you should know that there definitely is a Ma'amad. Which Ma'amad do you think it means? Ma'amad de Mai. It can't mean the Ma'amad of Shacharit, because the Tanakhama also said there's a Ma'amad on Shacharit unless there's Hallel. Okay, so fine. It's not what it means. Does it mean there's also a Ma'amad of Musaf? When you're bringing a Musaf, I mean, that's ridiculous. We just said, what, Didei Nami Lodochi? What do you think, that the Musaf is Docha Mincha, but it's not Docha its own? I mean, obviously, the first thing is Docha is its own, like we just said. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi must be saying that if there is a Musaf, there will still be a Maimed of Mincha. Is that what it means? Korban Eitzim Dochi. The problem is that we do have, he said, Kol Yom. Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Musaf. Kol Yom Sheyesh Bo Musaf would include even times that there is a Musaf, but there is a Korban Eitzim as well. So then how could he say there's always going to be a mincha? So Rabbi Yossi must be meaning there is a ma'amad in Ne'ilah. But then that means, according to Rabbi Yossi, that shmamina didei dachi, that it is doicha musaf itself, but it's not doicha a ma'amad that's not itself. And that's exactly what you're saying. And that's what it turns out that Rabbi Yossi actually agrees to. Shmamina. Now, something is very strange, because Rosh Chodesh Teves is not the only Rosh Chodesh that has a Korban Eitzim. What happened to Echad B'Nisan? That's a Rosh Chodesh, and it is a Korban Eitzim, and yet you say there's something absolutely unique on Rosh Chodesh Teves that would doche every single one of the Ma'amadot. But that should be true on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, too. So we've got Hallel, and we've got Musaf, and we've got the Korban Eitzim, and therefore, there's no room for the Ma'amad. I mean, it's exactly the same. So, listen, Ami Bechad Benisan Lo Yabo Ma'amad, Bipneshi Yeshua Halav, a Korban Musaf, a Korban Eitzim. Therefore, it must be that this proves to us that Halal on Rosh Chodesh is not the same as the Halal on Hanukkah. And it's a completely different halacha. This proves to us that Hilila Deresh Yarcha is Lav Dioraita. Remember, as I explained to you, the idea of Dioraita, as it's being used throughout the sugya here, doesn't mean literally Dioraita. Anything that has its moker in the takonas of Nevi'im or the takon of the Ovais, those are things that we're calling Dioraisa because of the Remazim. So we had a Remaz at the time of Shira of the Yam, in which we said bin Psachim that Nevi'im should be Ne'emur Metakein, that whenever there's a Tzorah, then we should be Kurias HaHalel, and etc. So it doesn't mean literally Dioraisa, but it means that the difference between a Minig B'Alma, which is what we have on Rosh Chodesh, and there is no din, and there is no kviyas of a halacha de Rabbanan, that's b'chayev you to say that halal because of the takonas of Nevi'im. So there, it's obviously just a minhag. Where would it come from? It's not a time of tzora that we should be saying the halal based on the takonas of Nevi'im. And actually, we know that Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadak pointed out, there are only 18 days in the entire year that we have an individual where even a yachid is chayev to say halal. And what is that? And therefore he's gomer the halal. Elaine, we have 8 days of Sukkot, because 7 days of Sukkot, of course, and 1 day of Shmini Atzeres. And over there, as the Gemara says elsewhere, since there's a different Korban Musaf every day, there's a different halal every day, because it's also that Zman of the Chag. We have the 8 days of Chanukah, and we have the first day of Pesach, but not the rest of Pesach, because it's all the same Musaf. And we have the Yom Tov of Shavuos in the Golah. So then, because of Sveika de Yuma, we have 21 days, because we have a Sveika de Yuma of the Shalosh Regalim. Okay, but that would add up to 9 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, 2 days of Pesach because of the Sveika de Yuma, 2 days of Shavuos because of Sveika de Yuma, but note that it doesn't say a word about a Chiyuv of Halal on Rosh Chodesh. So we're only Gomer Halal on those days. And because of that, now we get to the next interesting sugya, which has everything to do with halacha lemaisa. Do we say a bracha on that halal? So Rav, ikla lebavel, and chazina de kokori alila b'reish yarcha. Rav saw people reading halal on Rosh Chodesh, and he wanted to stand up and protest to stop it. So Rav sukino, and he was just about to get up and protest it, when he saw that they left out lolono Hashem lolono. So he saw, oh, I see, they're leaving out parts in order to make it clear that they're not saying halal. So if that's the case, Shema Amina, he said to himself, it's clear that this was only a minhag avotehem b'yadehem. So they were just doing this because they have a minhag to say halal, and they do it in a way that makes it clear that it's not really the mitzvah of halal, and that the only reason that they're saying halal is for a completely different idea. Remember that we used to make a special siman in the Beis HaMikdash of where we put the Evorim on a Rosh Chodesh, so that everyone should realize it's Rosh Chodesh. We need to be mefarsim that it's Rosh Chodesh. And the way that we do this in the Batei Knesiot is by saying halal. So once we say halal, everybody realizes, oh, today is Rosh Chodesh. And Tana Yachid lo yatchil, but im yitchil gomer. So you don't start saying halal, meaning you have no chiyav as a yachid. A tzibur can have such a minhag, but a yachid doesn't have to say halal. If he started saying halal, then it's not right to stop in the middle, but of course he has to do it bidilugim. So now this becomes the big question of, as the Rambam says, and therefore obviously we don't make a bracha, because how can we say asher kiddushono b'mitzvah tevet tzivanu on something that's not a mitzvah? It's only a minhag, and we just said you're not mechuyev to do it. So why would we make a bracha? And we have the same thing, as Tosis points out, back in Perek Lulava Arava. So over there we also said that when Rabbi Yitzchak did the minhag of Arava, he did not make a bracha. And why did he not make a bracha? Because he held that it was only minhag neviim, which is, of course, the way that we're knowing, that we do not make a bracha. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says, absolutely, we do make a bracha. The case of the Arava is because the minhag over there is just, it doesn't have a clear-cut thing that you do. You're just waving an Arava, which you have anyway. So that, you're not going to make a bracha. But, I mean, where you're supposed to be reading psukim and saying brachas or whatever, why would you not make a bracha? And he paskins halacha lamaisa to make a bracha. And he points out that the nafkamina lahalacha would be that if you go according to the Rambam, as so many, the Temanim do and the Sfardim do and many Nusach Sfardu or the Nusach Ari does, so then there's no iser in talking in the middle of halal. Other than that, it's very, very not nice, obviously. And we said that once you start, you're gamer, but it's not that you're going to be being mafsik with the bracha, mashenkein. If you're mevarech, like the Ashkenazim do, so then you're not allowed to be mafsik. So that remains a big nafkamina, even if you're not paying attention to the question of those who don't mevarech. Okay. Finally, we get to the Chamisha Dvarim, which talk about the relationship that we have throughout the Deres to the Beis HaMikdash and the Inyanim of the Korbanas and all of the things that are related to them. And that takes us back to the whole history of the Tzoras that we have that were Merumas in Maitz HaBereishis itself. So Chamisha Dvarim Iru et Avotinu b'Shiva Asar b'Tamuz. Let's go through each one of them. How do we know that Nishtabru HaLuchot? Tanya. So it says beferish that we had the big machlokas that we spoke about in Yuma before. What day were the luchos given, the Aseret HaDibros said to us? So the Tanakame held on the 6th and Rabbi Yossi held on the 7th. That was the whole machlokas, was how to trace the chodashim that year, which was Malay and Chasar and so on. Now, Mandomer Bishishad need to know, but it doesn't matter, because the bottom line is that everyone agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu was Ola B'Shiva. So Mandomer Bishishad need to know. So the next day, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to be Mekabel, the actual Luchais. And according to Rabbi Yossi, who says that B'Shiva, it was on the same day that Moshe was Ola, Dichti Vayikra Moshe b'yom ha-shvi'i. Now, as Rashi points out, this pasuk of Vayikra Moshe b'yom ha-shvi'i is not the basis for saying that Moshe was all of a Shiva, because it was a big machlokas over there. This might be referring to way afterwards that Moshe Rabbeinu was all of a shvi'i, or it could be a reference to before. I mean, that was a whole question. Was this referring to calling him up to b'yom ha-shvi'i to be mekabel the aseres hadvarim? Or was it referring to getting the luchas? So we just brought this in over here, but certainly it doesn't necessarily have to be the mokar, that because this was referring to 7 days afterwards, according to Maamar d'Yomar. Uchtiv, so now let's figure out when it was that the luchas were nishtaber. Because it says, Vayavo Moshe betocha anan, vayal el ahar. We're relating that to the seventh day of Sivan. And Moshe was Bahar, Vahim Moshe Bahar, Arba'im Yom, V'Arba'im Laila. So then that means that he had 24 days, because it was a Chodesh Mole that year. So there were 24 days, including that day, of Sivan. And there were another 16 days before Shavuos B'Tammuz, Molaluhu Arba'im. So then that actually, As Tosfos said back in Masechet Shabbos, that we're including the night of Shavuos B'Tammuz, where he was still up on the har, that made up for the missing night of the Shiva, especially if Jehoiada was the same day that he went up, so that it was entirely 40 days. And that was on the 17th of Tammuz in the morning, so he's coming down. And he was then Shervet Aluchas, because it says, Vayika Shekhar Avala Machane. So when Moshe was coming down and he got close to the Machane, he saw what was going on. Vayara Ta'ega Vatamecholot, Vayashlech Miyadavet Aluchot, Vayishaberotam Tachatahar. So if we follow the Psukim, we end up with recognizing that this took place on Shavuos B'Tammuz. Then we said that there was also Batal HaTamid, and as we spoke about yesterday, there were several different references to Batal HaTamid, whether it's in time of the Yavan or whether it's in time of the Chashmonoim themselves. Anyway, that was, or even later on, with the Romans, so we pointed out that a day can be the marker of similar tragedies across history. How do we know that it was that day? That's a Gemara. We don't have a marker anywhere for such a thing, especially if what we're talking about are things that are after the time of writing the Tanakh. Then we said that Yerushalayim was Hufka'ir, and that was on the 17th. Now, how do we know that? Because as far as I know, the only Pasuk that references this, which is in Yirmiyahu, says that it was not on the 17th of Tammuz, but rather it was on the 9th day of Tammuz. It says, Barchodesh Arevi'i, but Tish Alachodesh, Vayachazak Arav Be'ir, Vatibakaha'ir. So, how in the world do we get the 17th? Omar Rava, well, obviously, the Pasuk is referring to the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, which is at the time of Yirmiyahu. But our Mishnah is talking about the break of the through the walls of Yerushalayim in the second Beis HaMikdash. And that is a Pefersh HaBraita. Rishona Hufka Ha'ir B'Tish Abetamuz. And Bishniya, it was B'Shiva Asarbo. And since the tragedy most Korov to us historically is naturally the way that people relate to tragedies, so even though, remember, we're torn in two directions, because as the Rambam has explained, there are two different issues over here. We want to feel the way that we are suffering because of our behavior, the tragedies that we're suffering, but we want to recognize how the behavior that led to this suffering is consistent with the behavior of previous generations who suffered the same tragedies. Now, if that's the case, there a very cogent argument could be made that since the whole point of these, as we've seen, is to trace the historical Retzef, and that's why we want to know on Tisha B'Av there was the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon and the Beis HaMikdash HaSheni and the Gezerah against coming into Eretz Yisrael that was all on Tisha B'Av. We want to see the interrelationship. So then it might make more sense to go for the Shoresh. If we go for the Shoresh, then you would think we should go to the earliest occurrence. The problem is that then we would be emotionally less connected, because human beings are rather short-lived creatures who pay little attention to the depths of history, and they are more likely to be emotionally involved on the most recent things, and therefore we're sort of torn in both directions. And that was the decision we made, that we can relate back to the Shoresh, but we have to do it through our emotions, and therefore we are more likely to be a responsive individual when it comes to saying, why are we in this mess today, in which we don't have any chumash on Yerushalayim, and that relates us back to Shivasa B'Tammuz and not to Tisha B'Tammuz. And then the fourth thing was, on Shivasa B'Tammuz, Soraf Apostomos et HaTorah, that's also a Kabbalah that we have. Obviously, we don't have any place where we can refer to it in a pasuk. And it says that also on Shivasa B'Tammuz, Hu Amad, we had two Lashonis over there, Hu Amad Selam Be'echal, Hamid Selam Be'echal. Again, that means that over time this was done multiple times. It could be going all the way back to Menashe. And that, Tichtiv, because we do find that in Daniel it says, Me'et Husar HaTamid V'latet Shikut Shamein. So that in the Nevi'as, but in the visions of Daniel, he saw clearly that a sheketz, that is a shikut shomem, which is obviously an icon of some kind, was related to the same day that Husar HaTamid. So he himself had already been shown the interrelationship between these events of Shivasa B'Tammuz. And therefore, if we know that the shikuts, that the Tamid was a Gemara and a Shivasa B'Tammuz, then Daniel must have been referring to the same day that Huamat Selah. Wait a minute. He contradicts himself. It says Shikut Shomem. Shikut Shomem is Loshen Yochid, one sheketz. Problem is, there wasn't just one sheketz. V'chad havi, v'aktiv v'al kenaf shikutzim mishomem. But the same Daniel refers to disgusting, abominable things that can't even speak, the shomem. And he mentions that there were Loshen Rabim. So what was the truth? Oh, my Rava, the truth is that there were indeed originally two, as the earlier pasuk shows. And what happened was that one of these, Menashe we're referring to, one of these fell on the other one, collapsed on him, and broke off his hand. And then Ishtakach Taviktiv. See, here there's different approaches. I'll talk about them. Well, let's take the first Pshat in Rashi, that they found that it was written on the hand of the one that was whole, An Tzavit L'Charuvei Beita, you disgusting abomination, as one said to the other, you wanted to destroy the Beis HaMikdash by bringing Klal Yisrael to Avedas Halilim, Yada Chashlim Atle. Therefore, I am taking revenge on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's behalf on you. So just to show that both of them were worthless. So the one that he had put up that was whole only remained whole because it was able to be Megala, the Ratzon Hashem, and the one that was broken suffered the indignity of having been crushed. So Ki'ilu, one of these, spoke to the other one, and therefore was reduced to one at the end. Or it could be that it was the other pshat Rashi brings. There's a number of different pshat. The other pshat Rashi brings is that I wanted to destroy the house of God, and I actually borrowed your hand to do it with. So I was the one who won. That's a little bit weird. And there's other Lashonis as well. That was a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to them that you wanted to destroy and I used one to destroy the other. Okay, but whatever. So that we have actually two ways of looking at that, that there were two initially and that they were reduced to one and that one became itself a shikut shomem as a Kadosh Baruch Hu was made on it.